as is fitting. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 34, and let me read to you extensively. So listen to the text and learn of God. Josiah, which means founded of the Lord, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And you're going to get 4 distinct periods in his life. 4, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the Asherim and the graven images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of the Baalim in his presence. And the sun images that were on high above them he hewed down. And the Asherim and the graven images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and screwed them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and purged Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh, and Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, in their ruins round about. And he brake down the altars, and beat the Asherim and the graven images into powder. And he hewed down all the sun images throughout all the land of Israel, and returned to Jerusalem. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of his God. And they came to Hilkiah the priest, and delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers of the threshold, had gathered, of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord, gave it to mend and repair the house. Even to the carpenters and to the builders gave they it, that I hewn stone and timber for couplings and so forth and so forth. Now, look down at verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king, and moreover brought back word to the king, saying, all that was committed to thy servant they are doing. And they had emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and had delivered it into the hand of the overseers and into the hand of the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read therein before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Jerusalem, in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do according unto all that is written in this book. That's all we'll read for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the biographies that thou dost record for us in thy word. We rejoice for all the instruction thou dost give us in the ways of life on earth. Our God, that we should know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, we thank you also that thou hast taught us how to behave ourselves in the land of the living among men, toward those that are without. So from the portion that we've read and those that we desire to consider, we pray that thy Spirit shall teach us. May there be that discovery of the book of the law that should be present with us always. May it be discovered, and may its truth and power register upon our lives. We thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you, Father, that we are here and our ears are open to listen to thy word. Let us not be disappointed. Empower by thy Spirit and prepare hearts to receive the truth. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I remember, as a child, I had no great responsibilities placed upon me until after I had finished high school. I think, in contrast of that, for this child, Josiah, when he was 8 years of age, having the reign of Israel, and I say Israel now because the northern kingdom has been destroyed, and when it speaks about Josiah going to Manasseh and Ephraim and all the rest of Israel, the northern kingdom has been destroyed and taken captive. So I speak of him as king of Israel, whatever tribes are left. Here is this young child, 8 years old, and the responsibility to carry on for what is left of the nation of Israel is placed upon his shoulders at 8 years of age. I think when I was 8 years of age, I thought mostly of playing, of having responsibility to look after the needs of others. It was something that would not enter the mind of a child who was 8 years old. But Josiah was not the youngest upon whose shoulders was placed the responsibility of caring for the children of Israel. You remember that Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and there was another young boy, Manasseh, when he was 12 years old. So some of us in life are called to bear responsibilities when, for ordinary people, it is a time of play. And I'm wondering if, instead of enjoying life, just living as a boy without responsibilities, I am wondering if life would have been more enjoyable or would have been unbearable, and as in the case of Edward, who abdicated the throne of England for the woman he loved, I wonder if for some other pleasure, some other thing that would satisfy the human heart, responsibility would have been forsaken. But all of you who are training your children, remember this, that it is not too young to place responsibilities on them in measure when they are 8 years of age and even younger than that. This scripture comes to mind. Concerning Timothy, it says, "From an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ." So if you say, when my child becomes of age and is able to understand, I will teach him the scriptures, why, by then, Satan has taught him all his ways, and then try to impress him with the word of God. That from an infant, from childhood, some, such as Timothy, have been taught the word of God, and some, such as Joash and Josiah and Manasseh have responsibilities placed upon them, and some carry on well, and some completely fail. Now, I would like to contrast Joash and Josiah, who were both children when they became kings of Israel. Both of these were kings of Judah. I want to contrast them for this reason. If it were not for Jehoiada, the uncle of Joash, and Jehoshabeath, his aunt, Joash would never have grown up to be the man of God, the good king toward Israel that he was. Because the sad thing is this, that Jehoiada, his uncle, the one who with his wife, Jehoshabeath, these two preserved the life of that child when the wicked queen mother would have destroyed him. They preserved the life of the child. They trained the child. They superintended his reign. But then, finally, in the goodness of God, Jehoiada had lived to be 130 years of age, and as soon as Jehoiada died, Joash turned in his heart away from God and was guilty of murdering the son of his uncle Jehoiada, who had been so kind to him, to whom he had owed his life. Who can conceive of such a thing? And that is why I wanted to tell you about several kings and how different it is, and why you're unable to fit these kings into any pattern and say why this king behaved in a certain way. Some, God gives us a comment, they behaved wickedly because their counselor was their mother, and their mother was the wicked daughter of King Omri and King Ahab. You can understand that. I can understand why Joash was a good king, because he had a priest, a godly uncle, and a godly aunt to care for him and bring him up in the ways of the Lord. But you have this child, Josiah, and his grandfather was the most wicked king that reigned in Judah. And his father followed in Manasseh's footsteps, was wicked as well. He only lived 2 years, and then those that should have protected him destroyed him. And so here is the son and grandson of two wicked kings. And it says his mother was Jedidah, which means beloved, but it says nothing about any counsel that she gave to him. And yet, here is this child, 8 years of age. The responsibility of Israel is laid upon him. And in those formative years, he does not go astray. One reason is this. God had spoken a prophecy concerning this child. God speaks prophecies concerning those that shall reign over his own people and for heathen kings as well. You'll find in Isaiah 45, God looks into the future and gives by name Cyrus. He says, this man shall come upon the scene, and I will give him authority. I will prosper him. And this is what happened in the case of Cyrus. And in like manner, in 1 Kings 13, let's look at that. 1 Kings 13. Just when the kingdom was divided, you have the United Kingdom under Saul and David and Solomon, and then you have Rehoboam in the south and Jeroboam in the north. And when Jeroboam is establishing idolatry in Dan and in Bethel, a prophet is sent to him, and a prophecy is given. And verse 3, 1 Kings 13, 3, and this prophet gives a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. This is what he said concerning the altar. Now, what is going to happen to that altar is spoken in verse 2. And he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a son shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he sacrifice the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall they burn upon thee. And so perhaps this is why young Josiah turned out so well. But the natural as well as the supernatural comes into play for this reason. We are told nothing about his life for 8 years, from the time he was 8 years old until the time he was 16 years old. We are not told anything about him. It's like our Savior. From the time he was born until the time he was 12 years of age, so little told about him. And then from 12 to 30, so little told about the Lord. But now, look again in 34, 2 Chronicles 34, and let's look at verse 3. It says, For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. So think now. Here is a child, 8 years old, and then when he's 16 years old, it says he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And what caused this? Why, when this young man was 16 years old, did he suddenly decide to seek after the God of David, his father? But understand this. This is to give hope to some of you fathers and mothers who have children that apparently are not interested in the Lord. Suppose I told you that when they were 16 years of age, they would suddenly start seeking after the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You would say, then all the years of preparation would be worth waiting for. Well, that is the hope that God sets before us. That here is a child, and you see nothing happening that God tells us about, from 8 until 16, maybe a glimmer here and there, but it says that assiduously, when he is 16 years of age, he starts seeking the God of his father, David. That should be an encouragement to your heart. Alas, I read of other kings, and this is what is so heartbreaking, that some, when they are young, seek after the Lord, but then in their old age, they depart from the Lord. And that some, when they are young, begin serving the Lord, and as soon as they reach their teens, they go wild and they depart from the Lord. They come to the meetings because you compel them to. If you did not compel them to come, left them to their own free will, where would they be? But then there are others like Joseph. Think of Joseph's brethren, and this young teenager is reproving his brethren because of their sins. And yet, here are his brothers, and they are sinners, and he has to reprove them for it. And yet, here is Joseph brought up in the same environment, having the same father, having the mother, and having Leah and Rachel and all the others, the same environment, and yet Joseph grows up fearing the Lord, loving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, whereas his brothers grow astray. So no one can guarantee that these things shall happen, but we have these promises of God. We do all that we can, and we trust that perhaps when they are 16 years of age, they will start seeking the Lord. Whereas I remember in Luke 15, there was a young man, the younger of two sons, and he came to his father, and he said, Father, give me the portion of the inheritance that befalleth me. And he gave unto him his living. And not long after, he went into a far country and squandered it all in riotous living. So sad. Some, when they reach 16, go into the far country into sin. And that is what I believe has happened to most of the youth today in this nation. They have come of age, and even now, this is what is so heartbreaking. You see infants trained into the Olympics, and then before they reach their 20s, they are burnt out. And they know everything before they reach their 20s. They've experienced everything in life, and they are diseased, and they die, and their lives are ruined. Whereas God has made things so that there is the seed, and then there is the blossom, and then there is the fruit, and the old age. And yet things have been so perverted today. But in the case of Josiah, thank God, here is a young man, and this young man, at the age of 16, begins seeking the Lord. And I think of what David said in Psalm 27, "When thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Do you understand that God by his Spirit says unto all of you young people, seek my face, and then your heart must respond. Your heart should say unto the Lord, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And this is what happened to Josiah. It's just that simple. He lives a life of responsibility, and then when he's 16 years of age, the call of God comes to him, seek ye my face. And then as David his father has said, I said to you, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Then little Josiah said, Lord, thy face will I seek, as my father David said he would seek thy face. All right. So here we have him in the formative years, and then the years seeking the Lord. But then the next step is this. In the 12th year, he is 20 years of age, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. Think of this now. He begins to seek the Lord. He evidently finds the Lord. And then he becomes zealous for the Lord. And who can help but remember our Savior in his zeal? At the beginning of his ministry in John chapter 2, he comes and he looks over God's house, and he sees it filled with the money changers and the charlatans, and he makes a small scourge of cords, and he drives them out, and he says, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And now, this is the courage of this young man who is 20 years of age. Think, for a century and more, idolatry, idols, corruption, sin had been planted among his people. And now what he does is to go around and see every idol wherever it is placed. And just what Manasseh, who reigned for 55 years, and then his father, who reigned for 2 years, that's the 57 years, and before them, corruption had been set up as well. All of these things that his father and grandfather have established, he goes around destroying. And what has happened today, and it breaks the heart of God's people, all that we who gather to the name of the Lord, our fathers and grandfathers have taught us, our children are now going around and destroying the things that were precious to them. They are no longer precious to our children. But thank God the reverse can be true. The things that we as fathers and grandfathers have failed to do, the sins that we have brought into the assembly and into the lives of the people of God, there can be one raised up of God to go and to destroy and tear down everything corrupt and carnal and sinful and contrary to the mind of God. And this is what we should pray for, because God is not going to fully do the work, and I want you to see this, God is not going to fully do the work, but God in the midst of the days can come and give us a reprieve. Thank God for that. If you ask me, is it possible if the Christians with all their heart turn back to God, is it possible that the United States shall be completely converted and become a Christian nation? I would say, no, it will never happen. But I will tell you this, that God can give us a reprieve, and I will show you why. Let me show you in 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings. And this is why I speak this way. It is not that I am a pessimist, but I am speaking this way because of the words that God speaks. Look in chapter 23 of 2 Kings, and look at verse 25. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations wherewith Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off this city which I have chosen, even Jerusalem, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. God said, there are certain pronouncements that I have made because of the wickedness of prior kings. But understand this, and this is the consolation to us. It may be that we can bring about a reprieve, and the judgment that is inevitably going to fall upon America, it can be delayed, and we can enjoy the fruits of fellowship and communion with God as we go about seeking to destroy all the idols that have been built up by those that were prior to us. That is the consolation. But as for a complete return to the Lord, I wish that I could tell you that my heart feels as Jonah and his prophecy were going to be fulfilled again. When Jonah said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And when he said that, Nineveh, from king to handmaiden, repented. And God said, I am not going to destroy Nineveh. Now, I wish that God could say that. And at least, let's give it a try. And nothing would please me more if God did preserve us. And you came to me and said, you were wrong. I would say, praise the Lord, I was wrong. But I can guarantee you this, that God, no matter how serious the situation, if one such as Josiah comes along and lives for God and destroys sin in the midst, God can give a reprieve. And this is what God said. He said, it will never happen during your lifetime. It's going to happen after you, but it shall never happen during your lifetime. Now do you understand why it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for the king and all that are in high place, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life and all godliness and gravity. It says we are to pray for that. Have you done it today? Have you prayed that God would prove those who are in authority, grant us peace? God is able to do that. Think of the verse in Proverbs. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, as the water courses, and eternity whithersoever he will. This comes to mind. There was no king as wicked as Manasseh. And yet it said that when God sent him into captivity, he changed and he turned to God and he cried to God and he tried to reverse the things that he had established during the majority of his reign. He reigned for 55 years. But what happened was this, that what he had established for so many years, he was unable to undo in the last few years of his life. And then, this is what is so sad, all the years of sin in which he had lived before his son Amnon, his son took after his father before he had turned to the Lord. And he built up again the things that his father had just begun to tear down once more. And so now Josiah comes upon the scene, and with assiduity he goes about destroying everything that was sinful in the nation of Israel. Now this. What is so remarkable is that what he was doing had been done from something that had been taught him other than from the Word of God itself. You say, how is that? Because I read to you that finally, when he was 26 years of age, notice his work fell into the two parts. The first part was tearing down, destroying. And now that the corruption has been put under control, he says, now I'm going to start building up. We're going to repair the house of the Lord. And so Hilkiah, the priest, goes in and he finds the book of the law. And he brings it out. And this is what is so fascinating. In chapter 34, here is a 26-year-old young man. And Shaphan the scribe begins reading from this book that was written by the hand of Moses. And it says in verse 19, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and the others to go and inquire, saying, what would God have me to do? Why did he rend his clothes? Because as much corruption as he saw in Israel, now he sees the sins that God had pronounced as sinful, and he saw the judgments that would fall upon them. And he could read from Deuteronomy 27 and 28 and 29 all the curses pronounced from Mount Ebal. And he could see that these curses were going to fall upon the nation of Israel. And therefore, having learned from the Word of God that what he had been doing was good, that there were to be no idols, now he learns additional things as well. And he says, oh God, what should we do? Now, this is a portion I want you to see. Turn to Deuteronomy 17. That would have completely prevented what happened and the astonishment in the heart of the king had the anticipatory instructions of God been carried out. In Deuteronomy 17, it speaks about a king in a future day after they have had the monarchy and after they had had the period of judges. They're going to call for a king, and it says in verse 18, Deuteronomy 17, 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And had the kings been compelled to sit down as young men and write out a personal copy of the law of God, they would have had instilled in them from their youth what was instilled in Timothy by Lois and by Eunice, that from a child there was known the Holy Scriptures, and the king was compelled to know it, to write it, and to read it all the days of his life. But the law of God had been lost, and now, for the first time, this young king sees this law, that had it been brought to him and told what he was to do at the age of 8, he would have copied it out. But now he sees what is to be done, and he turns to God with all his heart and with all his soul, and he calls others to follow him in his devotion to God as well. Now, I think of this young man, 16 years of age, seeking the Lord, finding the Lord, being fervent for the Lord, in destroying and in building up. And I think of us and the conditions that exist in the assemblies of God as well. I think of the things that have been brought in, and therefore we have a negative ministry to tear down, to do away with all of these things that are not to be found in the Word of God. But then having torn down, there is the positive as well. We have to build up, and that is our ministry. And so may God revive his work in the midst of the days. Yea, Lord, in the midst of the days, revive thy work. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that whereas there should be old men setting us examples. We are thankful that throughout the scriptures you give us examples of young men. An old man helping Joash, but then Joash for almost his whole life long living for God. And we think of the cowardly nation of Israel as they face Goliath, but then a youth comes and manifests bravery, and the nation of Israel is turned and becomes courageous. So, Father, whether it be with old or with young, we pray that thou shalt revive thy work and establish thy work in the midst of the days. Let us not despair. Let us understand that you can raise up those like Josiah, and whereas there may not be a complete recovery, there can be a reprieve for length of days, and we rejoice in that. So give us that reprieve, our God, and restore us and strengthen us, and let us, when thy Son comes, be found abiding in thy word. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.